This is the final message in that series on relevant orthodoxy, why we believe what we believe. And I think that in this day and age of postmodernism, that is the question. I'm not saying it's the most important question, but it is the question of the day when it comes to people who are considering the spiritual life. You make claims of faith. You make claims of doctrine. Why is it that you believe what it is that you believe? That's what this series has been about. I felt that the most fitting way for us to wrap this up is to bring all of what we've said over the last couple of months on various aspects of doctrine and belief, some that have been very broad in Christendom, some that have been more specific to us as Baptists, but narrowing that focus down to today, what is God saying to us about the application of Scripture for us as a church at Zion Baptist. But to begin with, let me share with you some things that are interesting about churches. Here are the top 9 things that you will probably never hear in church. And here they are. Hey, man, it's my turn to sit in the front pew. Okay? Well, you're almost there. Do you want to move up? You started there. Okay, that's my seat. Here's the next one. Sign me up for nursery duty for a whole quarter. That just never happens. Preacher, I was so enthralled, I never noticed that your sermon went overtime by 25 minutes. First of all, have I ever done that, Sue? 25 minutes? I don't think that long. But when I have gone over, nobody's ever congratulated me on it. Personally, I find visitation night much more enjoyable than golf. I don't know, that might be the case for some of you, I don't know. Hey, let's stand up during the whole service. There are some churches that do that, but that's probably not going to happen here at Zion. Anyways, here's number 4. I love it when we sing hymns that I've never heard before. Never has been said in a Baptist church. The third most popular one, could you preach more about money, Pastor? This is the one that I liked. Preacher, we'd like to send you to this Bible seminar. It's in the Bahamas. Never heard that. And here's the number 1. Since we're all here, let's start service early. That just isn't going to be said. Here's some old laws that are still in the books, different things that churches and communities have worked together on. This is not necessarily what I think that the church should be doing in the community, but these are some of those blue laws that somehow got on the books of different communities, and they're hilarious. Young girls are never allowed to walk a tightrope in Wheeler, Mississippi, unless it's in a church. You imagine that? A tightrope? In Blackwater, Kentucky, it's funny how these are always, I'm sorry, Joe, over in that area, but anyways. In Blackwater, Kentucky, tickling a woman under her chin with a feather duster while she's in church service carries a penalty of $10 and one day in jail. Here's another Midwest one. Oh, no, sorry, this is far west, sorry. No one can eat unshelled roasted peanuts while attending church in Indiana, Oregon. I don't even know how to say that. In Honey Creek, Iowa, no one is permitted to carry a slingshot to church except the police. Swinging a yo-yo in church or anywhere in public on the Sabbath is prohibited in Studleyville, Virginia. And then turtle races are not permitted within 100 yards of a local church at any time in Slaughter, Louisiana. That's funny stuff. But my point in saying that is I'm going to share with you a little bit of how I believe that our church should be involved in the community. That is not the way I want to see our church involved in the community, coming up with these kinds of crazy laws. But before I get into that, the specifics of what I want to share with you today, I want to share with you a bit of the journey of how we've arrived at where we're at. It's just about 5 years ago that I began talking with the search team rather seriously about coming here to Zion. Tom Wilson was the main contact in that for me, and so I had quite a few conversations with Tom. And as I began to search out what this community was like on the internet, Google Maps, all those kinds of things, trying to understand what I might be getting into if I continued down that road of talking with the search team from Zion Baptist Church on the eastern shore of Virginia, which I'd driven through here, but I really had very little idea of what this place was like. I want you to know that I came to that with an idea of, and you can't get away from this, of what was it that was about my personal preparation for this moment in my life and in my ministry, my education, my experience, what I had been through, that for some reason God was putting this church in front of me. My prayer, starting right at that moment when I first began to talk with the search team here, and it has continued to be my prayer, that initially it was if God would have me to do something here, but if after it became confirmed that I would, that first of all, God's will would be done in this congregation. That was first and foremost, and I realized that sometimes people can get in the way of what God wants to do in a church, and I'm not so arrogant to think that even the pastor can't get in the way of what God wants to do in a congregation. So I came with that in mind and wanted to be available to do what God wanted me to do. In the very first deacons meeting that I had here, I asked this question to the deacons: how can I help you do your job as a deacon in this church? And I remember Jack Kellum's response was, do you remember what it was, Jack? Probably not. Not fair to ask you questions without prepping you ahead of time. You have a hard time remembering what you said yesterday, right, Jack? Let alone 5 years ago, right? Okay. What you said was two words: lead us. That's what you said. You said we need to have somebody that'll come and who will lead us. And I wasn't born yesterday, and so I knew some of what that meant. It meant that we want you to lead us, but take it slow, Pastor. Don't go too fast in this. We want some input in this. When I came to the church, there were these things called deacon family groups that each of the deacons had a number of families, and I got the sense, and guys, forgive me if you feel I'm speaking for you incorrectly in this, but I felt like that there was a sense of angst or struggle about what did that really look like, what were we supposed to do in that regard. I think sometimes our deacons felt like that they were never could never measure up to what they thought that they were supposed to be doing in that. And so over a period of years, we began to tweak that and began to change that into what it has become today, which are these community groups, where we now have 4 geographical groups from our church that are led by deacon teams. And it's more of a mutual ministry, one to another, rather than one deacon trying to serve all the families that they're assigned to. And it's been very successful. We did a values assessment a couple of years ago amongst our deacon body, and we came out with some things in that we felt we wanted to try to evoke some sort of a new vision, a new direction for our church than what we saw the current values of our church being. That led us to go into 2 campaigns that we did church-wide. The first one was the What on Earth Am I Here For? Or The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. And if you remember that, I preached on it. We had the small groups in the homes. You people loved it. You read the book. You went to the Bible studies. We had 60 people going to home Bible studies in those weeks. And people still talk to me about how that reshaped their thinking and their mind about their relationship with God. Then this last summer, we talked more about what was it that we wanted to see happen in our church and where did we feel that we needed to see our church move, that there had been some successes that had come with the community groups, but what would be the next step for us? And we all felt that we needed to have more direction about how we could be groups that were doing something organically in our communities, and that led us to the study that we did, the campaign that we did, The Miracle of Mercy. And again, similar format. I preached on it. You did it in home Bible studies. And that got our groups doing stuff in the community. All of you did things. I don't know if all of you, but all of our groups did things in their respective communities. And the result of it was that our church moved and shifted to become a community-focused church. I believe that this winter was the time for us to begin to refine our mission and begin to get a sense moving towards what would be vision of what God wants us to do at Zion. And I'll be right up front with you. I believe that part of the role as the pastor of the church needs to be the one who gives some leadership to that idea of vision. Proverbs 29 says to us that where there is no vision, the people perish. And I realize that I am entrusted with a tremendous responsibility as the pastor of this church, not only for your lives and for the souls that are here and that are part of Zion Baptist Church, but I know that someday I will stand before God and He will say, you were the pastor of Zion Baptist Church in Accomack County of Virginia from this period of time until this period of time. What did you do for my kingdom while you were there, Andrew? And I want to have a good answer for him. I really do. And so that's a bit of the process of how we have arrived at where we're at today and what I'm going to share with you. When it comes to this subject of mission, let me just say this, and hopefully this is going to work for us. There we go. Mission. Every church, the mission of every church is basically the same, and we looked at this verse a couple of weeks ago, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago, and I identified for you that the primary action in that sentence is make disciples. It's not go, it's make disciples. And that's what every church is commissioned to do. And that goes to any denomination. Any denomination, that is what we are commissioned to do. It is called the Great Commission, and it is the mission of every church to spread the gospel to every nation of the planet. If we only stopped at that passage to understand what our mission is, we will be overwhelmed with what we're supposed to do. But as the New Testament moves along, we find that there is clarity and understanding that is given to what the mission of the church should be as we would move through the New Testament. And I hope that what we're going to look at in these next couple of verses will lead us to what it is that God would call us to do at Zion Baptist Church. So, right after Jesus said that, roughly around 10 days after his ascension, came what's known as Pentecost Sunday, and this is what happened on that day. Well, this is just before the ascension of Jesus, and Jesus said this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So here Jesus gives a little bit more clarification of what this mission is about. He says, "You're to be my witnesses," and who can't be a witness, right? You just tell what you have seen, what you have experienced. That's what a witness is. So everybody can do this. And where is it? You're in Jerusalem, which was the town that they were in Judea, which was like the county that they were in, and Samaria, which was a cross-cultural people group that was located near where they were at, and so they were to deal with people who were of a different culture than they were, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, which were the cultures of all over the world. The scope of this mission that the church is on is the entire world. But as we get into Acts chapter 2, and this is the day of Pentecost, this is right after Peter had preached, 3,000 souls had been saved, and this is what Dr. Luke records for us that happened on that day, at that time. So beginning in verse 42, it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching." Notice I've got that underlined, and there's a reason for that. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who was in need." And it continues. "Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." So let's just pause there for a moment, and we're going to consider a few things. I'm going to go back to the first part of the verse, if I can. There we go. So you'll notice the things that I've underlined. First of all, the apostles' teaching. That was something that they did regularly. For us, the apostles' teaching is the Bible. The apostles are the ones that were responsible for writing the New Testament. The New Testament, surprise, 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 was not in existence when this was spoken, when this was written. It was in the process of being recorded. So the apostles' teaching, we have it. It's the New Testament. They also committed themselves to fellowship, sharing their lives for the purpose of support and encouragement to each other. That's what fellowship is. It's not just having a meal together or having a cup of coffee. It's sharing life to build each other up. They also got together for the breaking of bread and prayers. This was, I'm calling this their worship service, because communion, while it's a somber thing, it's a celebration. And prayer is communing with God. It's inviting God to come into our lives and to do what only God can do and for us to be able to give to Him what He can only take care of for us. That's what worship is. It's recognizing God's rightful place in our life. So if I could move ahead to this, what is a church on mission? What does it look like? Well, I've got these five things written down here. First of all, it's discipleship. That's the apostles' teaching. It's fellowship. It's breaking of bread and prayer. That's worship. And then also, there are these ideas that they were involved in serving. If somebody had a need in their church, in the early church, what does it say that they did? It says that people were willing to sell stuff that they had to be able to meet the need of somebody else. That's pretty drastic. Sometimes people will read that passage and think, oh, they were living like a commune, right? That they just, no possessions. Kind of like the John Lennon song, you know, imagine. I don't think it was like that, but I think that they were willing to do that. They were willing to give up what they had to meet other people's needs. That's serving. And then mission. It says that they gained favor in their community. Imagine what it would be like if the county supervisors came to me as the pastor of the church and were to look me in the eye and were to say, Pastor Matthews, I don't know what Accomack County would be like if we didn't have Zion Baptist Church in it. Man, that'd make my life, I think, if I had a county supervisor come and say that to me, or a representative that's been elected, or just people on the street. A church should be doing those things so that if the church were to disappear, I don't mean the building, but I mean the ministry of the church were to disappear, the community would be a worse place for it. It ought to be like that. And then mission. We see in the early church that God added daily, it said, to their church the number that God wanted to have added to it. Should the church be growing numerically? Absolutely. Absolutely, the church should be growing numerically. That is the passage. That is the goal of the church, and that's what happened in the early church. How did they do this? That passage that we read from Acts chapter 2 said that they did it in two ways. First of all, they met together in large gatherings in the temple courts. That's what we're doing right now at Zion Baptist Church. We're meeting together in our large group gathering. This is a rather impersonal time that we get together. I mean, I know that we have this greeting time and we meet together, but we're only here for an hour. If you come to Sunday school here for 2 hours, and if you've got some responsibilities before or after, you might be here for 2.5 hours, maybe 3 hours for some of you that you're here. The interaction that we have with one another, it is limited, but it is a time of celebration where we come together and we affirm our faith in Christ and we worship God collectively, and God wants us to do that. But the other part of this is that they met together in small gatherings in homes. And this is our community groups. And we believe that God has directed us to do these community groups in the way that we're doing them. And I'll be honest with you, what we're doing here at Zion Baptist Church, there's no book out there written to do it the way that we're doing it. This is organic. This is a one-of-a-kind thing that's happening here at our church. There's no other church down the road that's doing it the way that we're doing it. I believe, that God has led us to doing what we're doing with these community groups and the way that we're doing them by His Spirit for a purpose and for a reason. And I think that and part of the reason why I want you to see this is that what we're trying to do is that we're trying to do things that are in obedience to the Word of God and that we're biblically based. Something important that happened in the book of Acts, along chapter 6, I don't have a slide for this, but they added deacons to the church. The pastors, the elders of the church, the apostles, they all found that if they were to try to attend to all the needs that people had in the community and in the church, they didn't have time to study the Bible and be able to teach the way that they needed to. And I don't know if you read my letter this week, but we've had deacons who have been taking chainsaws and heavy equipment to clean up the trees of these people in our church who have had trees make a mess in their yard from that storm last weekend. And you know what? All I did was, I was in the midst of the text, I was connecting people, I was saying, this looks like this is something that we can do, and I can put this person with this person. I have to admit, I'm not necessarily proud of this, I don't say this because I most certainly would have been willing to do that, although you don't want me operating a chainsaw, but I would have been willing to go and pile wood, do whatever it was, but I didn't have to, because these guys did it. Our deacons are good deacons. They deke really, really good. They come in and are willing to serve the people of our church, and most of you, if not all of you, have benefited from their ministry. Let's tie this in together with the great commandment that God has given to us from Matthew chapter 22. And we love this passage. Matthew 22, a guy came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" He's a minimalist. He just wants to know, let's just cut to the chase. What do I got to do to really please God? And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Do you get that? Do you see how this is working together? That there's two main focuses that God wants us to be a part of. That we would be part of this idea of coming together personally and collectively and in a large group to worship God. But then also that there would be this idea of showing love to other people. And it's like that these are two parallel tracks that the church must be on to be a healthy church and to be a growing church. We must be, at the same time that we are giving worship and glory to God, we must also have love for other people and serve them selflessly. So, here it is, folks. This is a mission statement for Zion Baptist Church that I'm not saying this is the final cut, but this is where we're at. This may be tweaked some going forward, but Zion Baptist Church exists for the purpose of connecting people to God together in community. The big words there are connecting and community, and let me break it down for you a little bit of what this actually means and how this applies to what we've just looked at in those verses of Scripture. Zion Baptist Church exists for the purpose of connecting people to God. First of all, that's in the idea of evangelism. One, to invite people to come to be connected to God, to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We want to see that happen in our community, and we say that unapologetically, that our goal is to bring people to a place in life where they are fully devoted to Christ and that they're living more for the kingdom to come than they are for the kingdom of this world. That they have been born again. That's evangelism and mission. But also this idea of connecting people to God is to worship God, both personally and in small groups and corporately. And that's worship, prayer, preaching, Bible study, those kinds of things. That's what we want to do, for people to become connected to God, both in the first place to be born again, and then secondly, to grow in that connection with Him. And that's where probably most of you are at today. The second part of that, so that's Zion Baptist Church exists for the purpose of connecting people to God. The second part of it, though, is this, uniting people together in community. And we would do this for the purposes of fellowship that would strengthen lives. So we want to see people connected in our community of faith here in fellowship so that our lives can be strengthened, that as I share my life with you and you share your life with me, there should be a mutual strengthening that happens. A ministry to one another, that it would be based on the gifts that you have, that you would find something that you do in this church that only you can do, or you do it better than anybody else, and that God would be glorified in that. And then also service that makes a difference in Accomack County. I'll just let that one hang there for a while. Service from this church that makes Accomack County a better place to live because Zion Baptist Church is here. That's what we want to be. That's what we want to do. And I believe that that's happening. I believe that that's happening. I have had, in the last year and a half or so, I have had people identify the things that our church is doing in the community and thanking me for it. But I want to have that happen every day. I want to have that happen every day. I want to have people recognize, and I want our church to be making such a difference in Accomack County. And then lastly, mission to make new disciples, that we would always be a part of that. And the offering we took today is part of that. God loves Shane and what's on his heart, that maybe, just maybe, he would be a guy who would go and be a missionary someplace. Man, we need to pray that way, that God would raise up a young person from our church or even an old person from our church, because, you know, there are a lot of people that go into missionary work in their retired years, and you can do that. You've got skills. You've got knowledge. You've got ability, things that you can do, both here in Accomack County and in other places of our country and other places around the world. Zion Baptist Church exists for the purpose of connecting people to God together in community. That is what's on my heart, and that is where I believe that God is calling and where God is directing us as a church. I want to read just one other thing to you about how we need to have people get behind this. And here's the deal, folks. I really try to be a pastor who is inclusive and a process that includes a lot of people. I hope that the deacons have felt this way, that I have valued and I've wanted their input on what I'm sharing today with you, and they have very willingly. And I want to be very much a team player in what we're doing in this. I do not want to be a pastor who is saying it's my way or the highway. I hope that you'll never hear those words out of my mouth, and I hope you'll never hear that sentiment from me, that it's my way or the highway. But at the same time, I do believe that I would be negligent in my responsibilities as a pastor of this church if I didn't, in some ways, set forth what I believe God has put in my heart and what God is leading us as a church to do, and to invite you to support that vision and to support this mission that I believe God is calling us to. We Americans are consumed with the consumer mentality. We are used to choosing whatever gives us the most perks at any given time. We look for a restaurant with the best price, the menu, an atmosphere, and location. We go to the clothing store that carries our size, our taste, and clothes, and has the best sales. If we can't find it in town, we shop online. We want to get our groceries at the place that's close to home with the best price, best selection, and that's not too crowded. Lots of people take the same mentality with them when it comes to choosing a church. In fact, we often call it church shopping. If we have little kids, we look for a church with a great kids program. If we don't have kids, we find a church that doesn't have a bunch of noisy kids disturbing us. If we look for a building that is simple but not shabby, comfortable but not ostentatious, colorful but subdued, cool in summer and warm in winter, and most of all, already paid for so that we don't have to give to a building fund. By the way, our building is paid for, praise the Lord, and we are, one of the things I'm encouraging our deacons to do is to set a value for our church going forward is that we do not go in debt. We want the music to be enthusiastic, but not too loud, energetic, but not too fast, contemporary, but traditional, soothing, but exciting at the same time. We want the preacher to be youthful, but not too young, relevant, but not trendy, spiritual, but down to earth, funny, but full of gravitas, and most of all, able to give a life-changing message in 20 minutes or less, preferably. If anything stops meeting our expectations, then before you know it, we're off church shopping again. But the church was never meant to serve the consumer mentality. The church is unique in that it is not about serving us. It's about serving others. In the church, we are more focused. In the church, we are more focused on reaching the non-member than the member, the non-attender than the attender, the seeker rather than the already founder, the newcomer rather than the insider, the desperately lost rather than the comfortably saved. All I'm asking you to do, folks, you're hanging your hat here at Zion Baptist Church. I'm inviting you to get behind this. Say to your deacons, I'm on board with what you're doing. I appreciate you. I encourage you to do that. Thank your deacons for what they do in our church. Tell me, Pastor, I'm behind what you're doing. I like the direction. God has said that in my heart, and I want to walk in that same direction with you. I believe that you need to bloom where you're planted. That's where you live. That's where your house is, the community that you're in. That's why we're doing the 4 community groups, so that you can bloom better in the community where you're in, because I realize we've got people from the southern part of the county and the northern part of the county and right here in the center of the county. We want you to bloom where you're planted, and we're trying to find ways to allow you to do ministry in those places. We want you to have an impact in your community, but part of that blooming, too, is where you've hung your hat spiritually. And right now, for you, it's here at Zion Baptist Church. And I invite you to bloom where you're planted. May that be your prayer. The Lord, help me to be a person who can get behind this and help people become connected to you, whether that's for people coming to faith in you in the first time or for other Christians, including myself, to grow in my connection with you. And the Lord, help that to happen in community. Make Accomack County a better place to live because of what's happening through our church and through our community group. Lord, I just pray that Accomack County will be a place that will know blessing from you and will reflect your kingdom because of the ministry of our church. But Lord, make the community of faith that we have at Zion Baptist Church something that is sweet and that is real and becomes an atmosphere for mutual growth in Christ. That's what I'm inviting you to do today. Will you do that? Will you buy into the vision and the ministry and the mission of Zion Baptist Church? Father in heaven, I thank you for where you've led me as the pastor of this church, how you've spoken to me, even from that very first phone call that I received from Tom Wilson over 5 years ago, and all the conversations that I've had with so many different people since that time. Lord, I just have to say that I didn't really know what mission would look like at Zion Baptist Church, and it's really not like mission at any other church that I've ever pastored or that I've ever been a part of, but I believe that it is uniquely designed by you to meet the needs not only of this church, but of the community that we serve in and that we live in. Lord, I pray today that you will give to us, above all else, a unity of spirit, that there may be a sense in which your spirit is saying to us, this is the will of God, let's walk together in it. Lord, I pray that you'll build that conviction in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.